Intellectual Property Commission on the APLA and its existence with the IKS bill. We believe that this meeting is important, that it is jointly convened so that we have the same understanding as both committees, as we believe that departments and government is one and unitary, that we should not work in silos, because our aim and objective is one. So it is important that where there is collaboration, where there is conflict, that we should come together. And as members of parliament and portfolio committees, we are in a better position to iron out those contradiction, collaboration, or where there's conflict, and we, with that, then we have both the commissioner of CIPC, Advocate Rory Bola. We've got members officials who deals with the indigenous knowledge from science and technology. But I think it will be important for us to introduce ourselves so that we know who's who here, who's here, and in what capacity. My name is Lingwe Masego, Chairperson of Science and Technology Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Joan Phelps, Chairperson of Trade and Industry.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Tozama Mantashe, a member of the Committee of Trade and Industry. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Adrian Williams. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry.
My name is Nick Kornoff, and I'm a member of both committees.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Maizela Kekana, member of Science and Technology.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Agnes Stuck, and I'm a member of Science and Technology.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Nokozola Ndongeni. I'm a member of Science and Technology.
Morning, everybody. My name is Dean McPherson, and I'm a member of Trade and Industry.
Kassel Matale, Science and Technology.
Chantal King, Science and Technology.
Izzy Easterize, and Trade and Industry.
Good morning, I'm Margaret Sheldon, the Content Advisor for Trade and Industry.
Good morning, I am Zogwana Madalane, I'm the researcher for the PC on Trade and Industry.
Morning all, my name is Rory Voller, I'm the Commissioner of the CIPC.
Good morning, Nomonde Maimela, Executive Manager, IP, CIPC.
Morning, honored members and colleagues. My name is Shumi Pango from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, my name is Thomas Nandan from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, I'm Shirlene Monsami, also from Science and Technology.
Morning, my name is Carol Marule. I'm a legal researcher taking notes for the state law advisors.
Good morning, members. My name is Charmaine Fonamarva. I'm the legal advisor that assisted the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry on the IP Laws Amendment bill when it was before Parliament.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Barbara Lewis. I'm the parliamentary legal advisor currently assisting the Committee on Science and Technology with the IKS bill.
Good morning. I'm Fungai Kuzinya. I'm with the Parliament's Monitoring Group.
Good morning, my name is Johnson. I'm doing research with the ANC.
Good morning, I'm Sureshni Gavanga, Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good morning, Luyanda France, Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Science and Technology.
Good morning, Saroj Naidu from the DTI, Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Juanita Blanche. I represent the Democratic Alliance on the Science and Technology Committee.
Thank you very much to everybody for that introduction. Just to indicate, Chair, that science and technology does not have a researcher. Now almost 3 years, and our content advisor is on maternity leave, so we don't have content advisor, we don't have the... Yeah, I know it. I just want to say to honourable members, you can take tea and whatever as presentation and discussion are going on to find, because it came late. I think without much waste of time, we'll ask Advocate Rory Vola to the CIPC Commissioner on the IPLA to present to us, and it's coexistent with the IKS bill. As earlier indicated, we're trying to synergize things, we're trying to ensure that an ordinary person out there doesn't have to go from pillar to post to get a certificate. But if there's a one-stop shop, it will be much appreciated, and also being mindful that we are one government, we have the same cause, so there's no competition between us. And if we can be able to complement each other, we will really appreciate that. Over to you, Advocate.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairs. It's indeed a pleasure for me to present to joint committees. In all my years of government, I've never done so. So it's indeed a pleasure for me to do so today. I feel like I'm family when it comes to the trade and industry portfolio committee. Madam Chair, I would just like to first echo the words that you said about collaboration in government and central government. That certainly this is indeed an opportunity for us to collaborate on this particular process and make sure that we align when it goes forward. I should say good morning to honourable members. The next point I want to make, Madam Chair, is that the presentation that I'm giving today is pretty short as the way that we think that as an implementer we can go about and look at how we can align IPLA and IKS. But I should mention that I have also been speaking to the DTI, who is my mother department, and I will express some views on what they think regarding this particular process and this particular bill. It is not necessarily the view of the CIPC. It must be stated as DTI view, but I think there is alignment as far as that is concerned, because I am presenting on the CIPC in particular. We are an implementing agency as far as intellectual property is concerned. CIPC is not a policymaker. We take our direction from our mother department and parliament, and therefore we need to look at it as far as that is concerned. Just for the benefit of the members of the Science and Technology Portfolio Committee,
can you just repeat the issue of the you say you're representing trade and industry?
I am presenting on behalf of the CIPC, but I have
we are a public entity of trade and industry.
I'm not a member of the department.
Yeah, you are part of the entity of the department.
Correct. We're a public entity under the Department of Trade and Industry.
Yes.
I think my next slide actually spells it out. This is just for the benefit of the members of Science and Technology, Madam Chair. As I stated, the CIPC is an agency of the Department of Trade and Industry. Our establishment came about in May 2011 with the New Companies Act, which introduced us as a public entity. Prior to that, we were a trading entity under the previous Companies Act and the PFMA. We were known as CIPRO, the Companies of Intellectual Property Registration Office. But until then, we are now have a new mandate, which is a regulatory mandate, and therefore we have changed our structure and the way that we perform. Regarding the issue of what we're dealing with now is that we're also responsible for the registration of intellectual property. Most people just know us for the registration of companies. But basically, we do both registrations. All right. As far as the way that we came about, it was a merger between CIPRO, as I stated, and an office called OCIP, Office of Companies and Intellectual Property Enforcement. The reason being is that the New Companies Act amended the mandate of the organization to make it a regulator and not merely an administrator of company and intellectual property law and registration. The IPLA, as we all know exactly what it means, was the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act back in 2013, and I will obviously refer to it as the IPLA going forward. And the DST bill shall mean the IKS bill, as we know it, that is before Parliament. As far as that is concerned, Madam Chair, the CIPC does acknowledge the existence of the two legal instruments, and therefore we need to see how they can best alignment in order for us not to have regulatory arbitrage, and make sure, as you said, Madam Chair, which I rightfully agree with, is that those who are will be using the particular legislation and the particular processes understand exactly what it entails and what and where they need to seek assistance or guidance from when it comes to the issue of protection as well as promotion. So as far as the position of the CIPC, the CIPC supports the DST bill, and we will surely collaborate with science and technology going forward in order to deal with the implementation aspects. But some of the implementation aspects is something that we obviously need to align and make sure that there's no overlapping between the piece of legislation which is passed and the legislation which is before Parliament, or the bill which is before Parliament. Just to further tell us, tell our committee what we do, we are National Intellectual Property Office. We basically deal with all forms of intellectual property registration, being in the form of copyright, the various mandates of intellectual property, which is copyright, trademarks, patents, and designs. That's the area for which we are responsible for registration, as well as education around those particular areas. We derive our mandate and our legislative mandate from the various acts which are listed on that particular slide before the committee. Madam Chair, the next slide is the way that we think that it should work in terms of the alignment between the bill and the IPLA, in order for us to ensure that there's clear lines of responsibility when it comes to the very important work of the protection of indigenous knowledge, or what is also called traditional knowledge. Madam Chair, way back in 2005, there was an amendment done to the Patent Amendment Act. Now, we must understand that the IKS bill does not deal with the issue of patents, because there is already a regime and a legislative regime which deals with the issue of knowledge in that particular area in patents, and therefore there was an amendment done to the Patent Act which falls under the intellectual property basket of legislation. So CIPC is currently implementing the Patent Amendment Act when it comes to the issue of indigenous biological resources, indigenous knowledge, and genetic resources, which has to comply with certain prescribed forms. And the prescribed forms are prior informed consent, disclosure of the source of origin, and a benefit-sharing agreement for those who have the knowledge and the ownership of the particular particular knowledge. Our view in the CIPC is that a similar approach can be taken or adopted in the implementation of the other IP domains when it comes to the IKS bill. Nobody has looked at it like this. We are. In implementing this form of patent amendment protection, and I go back to the point that we must always remember that the IPLA does not deal with patent, but this is the way that we see it working as far as the alignment between the IPLA and the IKS bill, is that the CIPC did not develop a database for indigenous biological resources, indigenous and genetic resources, but what it does is it gets its direction from the part of the Genetic Resources in terms of the Biodiversity Act, as well as three legal requirements which are contained in the previous slide that I've just mentioned. We get our information or our research and development in the area of biodiversity and the use of this knowledge from the Department of Environmental Affairs, which is a key stakeholder in the implementation of this particular act. And therefore, before we register, we consult with the DEA when dealing with such patent applications in order for us to ensure that it aligns with the Patent Amendment Act. That is exactly the way that we feel that it's also to work in terms of the similarity between the IPLA and the IKS when dealing with the other forms of intellectual property registration and protection that does not fall under this particular area. So how we see it operating is contained within a short depiction of that's contained within this particular slide. So we see that the DST bill, or the IKS bill as it's also referred to, as having an indigenous knowledge database that they've done a lot of work in, and I've seen the work that they've done, which I compliment them on, in terms of the gathering of knowledge, the education of knowledge, as well as the spreading of the knowledge in order to fulfill their mandate in terms of the database. And therefore we see that feeding into the legislative or legal process for IP protection, which falls under the current intellectual property regime and laws that I've just outlined in the beginning. So we as CIPC, as a registration agency, will look at search and examination tools in terms of feeding off the database. They will look at the research and development in the area as per the IKS bill. We'll look at areas of the growth of it in terms of encyclopedia and the growth of the area of knowledge in IKS, as well as the most important aspects, I believe, in the preservation and conservation of IKS and the knowledge contained within the various communities to which this applies. So there is a multi-purpose database. To me, there is a feeding system of it that feeds into the registration and the regulatory and legislative components. There is there's no public confusion, as stated earlier by the chair, that we need to have clear guidance and clear guidelines as to the way the two actions shall coexist, and we'll look at smooth implementation of IK legislation. We do understand that when it comes to the issue of the current bill and the IPLA, that it is a process of parliament because it's in the parliamentary phase. However, there are areas which we firmly believe that we need to collaborate in order for us to clear up some of the areas that are currently overlapping in order for us to have a meaningful collaborative effort, as well as the fact that we do not have regulatory arbitrage as far as the two legislation is concerned. So in terms of the implementation approach that we are proposing is that CIPC as an implementer must surely work with DST as well as the DTI in order for us to further the processes or show there's alignment between the two, the legislation and the bill. We will obviously look at on the registration of intellectual property having indigenous elements as part of our core mandates, and also look at it from feeding off the expertise of DST in order for us to focus on our core registration activity. As I said, we will adopt the same implementation approach as the Patent Amendment Act, which has been working since 2005 when there was an amendment. We will look at the further amendments as far as the areas of forms, the copyrights, trademarks, and designs, to include the three filing requirements of disclosure, prior consent, and the sharing agreements, which are also part of the benefit sharing applications in terms of the community. We will look at other areas regarding the issue of the points of reference for the granting or the refusing of the design, the trademark, and the film applications having indigenous knowledge elements in order for us to align the act also. I must state that the mandate of the CIPC will be limited to the registration of intellectual property in IKS. I will not get involved in other areas, for example, in the area of commercialization of that area. We believe that this implementation approach will have the effect of avoiding public confusion when looking at the mandate of the two spheres of government, and therefore we will see that alignment is necessary when it comes to the particular approach. We also see that CIPC will have a separate identifier or register for all derivative intellectual property filings in terms of the IKS and the knowledge for which it contains. Madam Chair, that is simple. Our very simple presentation regarding this from the CIPC perspective. As I said, I will also mention this, the DTI component, which I will come to now, and we see it as far as our implementation approach from the CIPC sees it working very similar to the way that the Patent Amendment Act has worked in all these years. Madam Chair, I will now turn to the mandate of the DTI as far as it's given to me in terms of the alignment and dealing with the issue of the IKS bill. The IKS bill, as seen from the DTI as well as from the CIPC, deals with the development, the research, the promotion, the education, the strengthening of the regime of IKS, as well as the protection and mechanisms thereto. That's why they have databases, they have education and knowledge, as well as areas of community and benefit sharing. The IPLA is seen as a registration and legal protection of IK under the established IP regime of laws, as I've mentioned, copyright, design, trademark.
Sorry, advocates, do you have...
I do not have this as part of this DTI part, unfortunately, but I can send an updated presentation with the DTI component, Madam Chair.
That's needed. And it's easier when we have the presentation before us so that we can follow.
Okay.
Also that you speak very fast.
My apologies.
So if there's nothing written, we
might tend to get lost. So we don't want to lose any information.
Okay, Madam Chair, as I've stated right at the beginning, is that my understanding was the CIPC and the DTI were doing a joint presentation as far as the various areas for which we are responsible. The CIPC has done their part, and as I've stated, as given to me, I should just pronounce on the DTI position as regards IKS and alignment to it. But I can speak to my colleagues in the DTI to have a follow-up in terms of a note or a guideline given as per what I'm stating today.
Please continue.
Okay. My apologies for that, Madam Chair, regarding the issue. As I was stating, that the IPLA is, as the DTI will see it, will be responsible for registration and legal protection of IK under the established IP regime of laws, which is copyright, design, trademarks, and performance protection, and it will be seen as statutory protection in terms of derivative intellectual property. The DTI also sees that there is a need for IPLA and IKS to be aligned to create legal certainty and for effective implementation, as there are currently areas that are overlapping, which will create uncertainty as far as the regime is concerned. The DTI does see it as coexisting, and it is possible to coexist, but it's critical that the established legal framework for protection, promotion, and development of IKS be effectively implemented, not to ensure that there is possibility of arbitrage. Madam Chair, they also stated that when it comes to the issue of IKS in terms of global protection, there is currently no global regime or global protection as given in terms of any agreements in terms of intellectual property. The World Intellectual Property Organization states that there are three options available for jurisdictions to protect IKS. And the three options they state is that you can have a sui generis law, such as the IKS Bill. They state that you can use the current system of IP protection, which is the IPLA, which takes into account the various domains of intellectual property. And then they have a third option, which says is a combination of both. And it's up to the country to decide which is best for them and their jurisdiction. I firmly believe that what we're doing in terms of the IKS Bill, as well as the IPLA, is a combination of laws and a combination of sui generis as well as using the intellectual property system as a means of protection. They've also stated to me, Madam Chair, is that there are areas that require alignment or discussion and agreement on, and that these areas will need a technical committee to be put together under DST and the DTI under the auspices of Parliament in order for them to deal with the alignment of the areas for which I am going to mention now. The one area they state is that the IKS Bill does not deal with the issue of trade secrets, whereas the IPLA does, and therefore they need to look at how best to deal with it as far as the bill is concerned. The other area that they see that there is a difference in systems is the management systems in terms of IKS Bill and IPLA do not align with each other and therefore requires amendments as far as the management entities are concerned as regards the National Council and the ad hoc committee that is contained within the IKS Bill. And the other issue that they say is very important in order for us to deal with in terms of clarity and alignment is the issue of the ownership of the particular IK knowledge. There is a difference between the IPLA and the IKS Bill in that the IKS Bill, as stated to me by DTI, only deals with identifying beneficiaries and owners, like communities, and therefore there is alignment that is required in order for it to bring it together. The proposal as given is that because the IKS Bill is now before Parliament, and two portfolio committees are involved, there is a recommendation that relevant departments establish a technical working team to resolve areas of overlap in the legislation and the bill in order for the bill to be processed accordingly in terms of the mandate of Parliament. That has been told to me in terms of the DTI mandate, and this is what I've now relayed to the joint committees. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Maybe I should ask Science and Technology to comment, and then I'll take comments from members.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll be very synoptic in my response. In terms of the presentation, there's very little that science and technology could draw from because it came purely from a CIPC in terms of implementation. But the second aspect of the presentation, I would just like to draw some concerns around. The first concern, Chair, is that it's now on, the IPLA was promulgated in December 2013. To date, it's almost 40 months we have no regulations. And it puts us in a position of weakness in terms of how do we go forward when you don't have regulation. So that actually, Chair, is our first concern. Chair, our second concern is that Section 56C requires communities to register their designs. Now, as I indicated, it's almost 40 months. So technically, the DTI has to go back to Parliament to amend the amendments. The third concern, Chair, is that much of Indigenous knowledge is commercialized without intellectual property. Without intellectual property, how does IPLA then protect that? So that's a major concern, and that's a concern which is addressed by the IK Bill. Okay. The other concern, Chair, is that IPLA is seen purely from an economic trade perspective. It leaves out the holistic nature of protection in terms of the management, the development, the promotion. So in terms of protecting Indigenous knowledge, you need to have a holistic approach and not a piecemeal approach. And IPLA provides a piecemeal approach to the protection of IK. The issue from the presentation is the protection of derivatives. The question then arises, how do you protect the existing knowledge? You protect the derivatives, but the existing knowledge still remains unprotected. The IKS bill does that. In terms of the register, the national database, I was not too sure whether the national database was a DST national database or a DTI national database. But if it's a DTI national database, it does not speak to Section 28C of IPLA. So the areas of concern around what the national database is. In terms of the overlap, and I'm quite perplexed here, is that when we requested the DTI to submit comments, those comments that were submitted, the inputs, were addressed in the current version of the book. So in terms of overlap, I'd like to hear more from the DTI or from SIPS as to what the overlaps are, so we could address that. In terms of the patent application processes, in 2012, Chair, the Act was promulgated in 2005, and in 2012. We are part, Chum and myself are part of the bioprospecting committee that feeds into the patent application. We requested the DTI in 2012 to give us the number of applications that that had IK in the patent application, and there were only two. Since 2005 to 2012, there were two, and they were subsequently withdrawn. So technically, from our knowledge, the patent applications in terms of IK is non-existent. The issue around the Section 30 of the Patent Act, which deals with the three requirements, the disclosure of the geographical geographical origin, the prior informed consent, and benefit sharing. It only deals with the indigenous biological resources. So if there's knowledge associated with
a resource which is not indigenous, then it falls outside the patent application, and it is covered within the IKS bill. Chair, for now, I will just leave it. In terms of the issue of trade secrets, Chair, we need to understand that the IK bill is not an IPR bill, it's an IP bill. So there's a distinct difference between an IP and IPR. So anyone who creates knowledge has IP. But when we register that knowledge to have rights over that knowledge, then it's an IPR. So trade secrets does not fall within the ambits of the IK bill. But however, that knowledge is protected within our national record systems as a trade secret in our third level of access. If for a practitioner wants to upload his knowledge onto the system, it is protected in the restricted level. So that is a form of trade secret. And in terms of international conventions, indigenous knowledge is protected by the Nagoya Protocol. And Section 6 of the Nagoya Protocol, Section 6, Section 7, and Section 8 of the Nagoya Protocol protects indigenous knowledge. So to the issue of there's no international instrument is not correct. But yes, in terms of intellectual property rights, currently there are negotiations at the World Intellectual Property Rights, and we serve on that committee as well. In terms of ownership, the IK Bill does not grant ownership to any particular community. As we indicated previously, indigenous knowledge does not belong to the current generation. It is borrowed from the future generation. So the current generation holds that knowledge in custody. So in terms of ownership, the IKS bill differentiates. No particular community claims ownership of that property. They only hold it in custody. So the issue of ownership is resolved within the IK bill. So Chair, just around now, for now, we'll just leave it at that. I will just pick up on issues as they come around. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe let me take members first. Honorable Williams, followed by Honorable Koronoff, Honorable Paulson, Honorable Tuck, and Honorable Esther, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm a little bit confused. The recommendation is that a joint technical team be established, and it seems that this hasn't been established yet. So all these issues that have been raised by the DST can be addressed in this joint technical team. Surely this Parliament should instruct the departments to form this joint technical team as soon as possible and sort out these issues so that when they come back and appear before us, we don't have to deal with problems coming from different departments that we can't handle. You know, we might not know which is the best way forward. So surely before they appear before Parliament, they should have one hymn book instead of two hymn books. Thank you, Chair.
That working committee, the technical team, is supposed to be existing and functional. So I'm not sure what's happened, but we'll get to that from the Honourable Governor.
Chairperson, thank you very much. You know, this is unfortunately a battle between two departments, and it's wrong. It's wrong, you know. So, if you look at the technical team, you know, in effect, you know, I don't think this meeting was even necessary this morning before the technical team has not addressed out all the issues, and I don't think it will be good if advocate is now even responding to DSD in front of us. I don't think you should. But nevertheless, the big question is, IPLA is not sort of commissioned, you know, it's not in action. No. IPLA was unfortunately born, we know, when there was absolutely no protection for indigenous knowledge. But all the lawyers, not the lawyers, the academics, not the lawyers, not the lawyers who make money from registering patents, all the academics in front of us were asking that IKS must repeal HIPAA. Now it's very difficult, you know, for DST, you know, then to pass legislation if that is not happening. So my plea to the technical team is, please get a proper legal opinion on this issue. And if the only, I understand the patent thing is a little bit in a grey area for me. I think there the IKS bill is not looking deep enough in terms of the Patent Act. And we need to register some patents, and we don't want somebody else in Washington to register a patent and get the rights because of that. That is a grey area. But I think the Department of Trade and Industry are very capable without living with IPLA. If IPLA must go in terms of legal certainty. And we don't have legal certainty now. So it's really up to the departments to get an independent legal opinion and sort it out. Otherwise, we're going to sit with these two bills, you know, for the next 6 months, and it will not proceed in Parliament. And even the amendment bill, you know, it's now in limbo in front of the trade and industry. So can I just plea again that we do that? But you see the problem, just for the benefit of the other members, in the IKS bill, it says quite clearly that if there's a conflict between the bills, IPLA will be the trumpet bill. Now, you know, we had, is that out now? Okay, that is out. No, that was a big thing in the bill originally. That's out now. But, okay.
Paulson first.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Chairperson, my biggest concern is the CIPC system, because a lot of the work will be done remotely, and it's a system that's fraught with errors. You can go and look on any website. They will complain vehemently about the CIPC system. It wasn't any better under Cipro, was just as bad then. So now with additional work, thousands of indigenous knowledge registrations on the system, how can we be assured that we're not going to experience even more problems? I think this IKS bill demands something that's going to be independent. It's far too precious to have to suffer that same discomfort that companies out there suffer with the CIPC system. And it's the truth. You can go look on any, go and Google it. The first 200 entries are complaints about the CIPC system. That's terrible. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chuck.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, at our public hearings, some people raised that IPLA must be repealed. Was there any consideration given to the scene there is now an IK bill? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Just for Honourable Kurnoff, I think we just had a legal opinion, his opinion. This bill seeks to amend the already existing property framework to provide for the protection of indigenous knowledge, traditional cultural expressions, and traditional knowledge. I really think that this should be on its own. Does it also make provision for other cultural groups in this? We said that this make for cultural groups through certain criteria. But there's a lot of cultural groups in this country. Does it make provision for all that? And if this doesn't work out, can this be amended in the future that this can be a bill on its own.
Okay. Thank you very much, and Honourable Keplanche.
Thank you, Chair. As Honourable Kurnoff has described to us how the IPLA bill was dealt with in the past, in our previous science and technology meeting, I think I would second his proposal that we get an independent legal opinion on the IPLA bill, and it's serious enough for me after hearing his explanation that, especially as the two stand basically head to head against each other, and I feel very serious about the IKS bill because of what I previously said about the Indigenous Knowledge Bill, and unfortunately the trade and industry members weren't there, but I can maybe repeat it. We are losing Indigenous knowledge on a daily basis because of the fact that illegal mining is taking place without environmental impact studies taking place. We even have cases where licenses are being given to places like wetlands, and in some of those instances, there are in those places where studies have not been concluded or have not been done, species, new species have not yet been discovered, but being privileged enough to be married to a butterfly collector, he discovers species and new species yearly. That some of his 100 years ago they said new species will not be discovered anymore, and I tell you now, new species are still discovered, not only of butterflies but of frogs and of other smaller species. So we are looking out for the big five, but nobody's looking out for the big 500, and that is my problem with the IPLA bill, basically. And that is why I feel so strongly about it, and that is why I support Honourable Kurnoff in this.
Thank you very much, Honourable Teplanch. Honourable Matale.
No, thanks, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. I think from what has been presented, we should... let me not say everybody, myself, I think we because there was no IKS Act, we had to talk to what is there, and there was nothing. And then we passed laws that had to address a vacuum that was existing. Hence, you find that the Patented Act and the Cinematograph Film Act was silent on quite a number of issues that are being raised here. And the Biodiversity Act of 2004 and the Patent Amendment Act of 2005 was addressing a vacuum that was existing. Now we are bringing the IKS bill into place, which is to close that vacuum that is there. Necessarily, you will have to do something to these acts that have been flagged by the presentation. You can't have the two together. I don't see how you are going to deal with that. Our intention of having one-stop shop won't happen. You will have more than one-stop shop with the current arrangement. And I think if we press ahead with the IKS bill as is, there must be an amendment of some act, not only one,
but those that talk to issues relating to IKS, and understandably so, they were passed before the IKS bill, and now that we are bringing it into the picture, there must be some kind of amendments, and I think it affects trade and industry and environmental affairs, in my opinion. So, yeah, that's the comment I can make, Chair, because I can't say he must respond. He will, you know, institutions, once you create institutions, they develop the capacity to defend themselves. They will never wither themselves away. You know, if you look at how the presentation was done, is to make sure that no, CIPC must continue to exist, and that's why the earlier comment that they don't only account to trade and industry, but also to Parliament, so that we must not just think that they are in a trade and industry institution. They go beyond that, including accounting to us. You know, they will not have a problem to be our agency. But I think, yeah, my view is that the acts that are affected by AKS must be amended. You can't repeal them because they are addressing other issues completely different to what IKS is addressing. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Ola Matale, Honourable Chair first.
Thank you, Chairperson Maseko, and thank you for the opportunity. I think, you know, it was raised here now by one of the members about, I'm not sure they used the exact words that I will use, but the fact that the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill was passed and signed into law by the President, in other words, assented to. But as we all know, a bill can be assented to and becomes an act, and right, it's ready, as it were. But if within that legislation it requires certain regulations to be developed and passed, as it were, well, of course, when I say passed, dealt with by the minister, and that is not available, it becomes an act that is impotent because the necessary levers, the regulatory levers, are not in place. Now, DTI learned this late last year, the beginning of this year, about the regulatory hold-up here. The bill was 2013. It was assented to then. And one must accept, and the Committee of Trade and Industry has certainly taken the department to task here, that it makes a mockery of Parliament passing legislation and the President assenting to it if you block it by not providing the regulations. And that is exactly what has happened. And I can afford to say that in this meeting because I've said it publicly in my own meeting. Suffice to say, I don't even want to go into the excuses that were proffered. The reality is that should have been operative in 2014 and wasn't. At the time that that bill was coming through Parliament and being processed by the committee, it was acknowledged, and science and technology were fully present in the meeting, as was arts and culture, as was the environment, as was rural development, as were all of seven committees there, that this would be a plank, a foundation plank for intellectual property, and that there was absolutely no doubt that having got this plank in place, there would be a need to develop it further. But let's get this foundation now. And the reason we said that is we were losing intellectual property hand over fist. It was just running out the country. And then we'd have to pay a fortune to get it back. Most people in South Africa know about the rooibos plant, etc. I mean, the very name of it is Afrikaans, you know. And we had to fight it and pay an absolute fortune. So all of those measures pushed us forward to do this. But on the acknowledgement, and I want to emphasize this to new members in my own committee, that look,
this is a plank. It's a foundation plank, and we need to take it further. I have had discussions with the minister, and perhaps my fellow chairperson is also aware of what the minister may have said, who didn't see a major challenge. In other words, that he didn't see this as exclusive to the other, as it were. The one issue that we have taken up since then, but before being fully acquainted with the science and technology bills, was the issue around the establishment of trusts. This was raised. How will this happen? You know, someone said, you know, once you set these things up, they take a life of their own. You can't get rid of them. So if we establish it, what should it look like? And probably we're getting into a better position now that other committees and areas are involved, sectors, to say this is what it should look like, or we shouldn't have one, or whatever. So I think that is going to definitely, we've agreed, needs a review there as well. But the other thing is, I was going to ask where the policy was. Did science and technology have this policy? What I do know from our own is we don't have policy on the copyright and the performers bill. We do on the earlier one. And that is the reason why I had to turn down the bill that was referred to us, the performers bill, and say, we can't deal with this now until we get the copyright bill. And in the same manner that you are working through this bill, we can't promote and pass legislation that contradicts each other. So we have to work together and say, what do you want to achieve with this bill? In what way is there a conflict with existing legislation? And in what is coming through the pipeline? Especially, we can change that now. And that is why I really am pleased that my fellow chairperson, Chairperson Maseko, has agreed, and I have agreed, that there's a need for us to work closely in this area. It's not a question of building empires, but where should this sit effectively, given that there's the environment involved, the health involved. I can go on, there are 5 committees involved in this. Now, it's not going to sit in 5 committees, do you follow? It has to sit, aspects may sit in one, and aspects may sit in another. But I think we must stop fighting over these things, and I'm very happy to say we have a very good working relationship, certainly with the chairperson of Science and Technology. And in our committee, we have a member of Science and Technology who sits in ours as well. And suffice to say that as soon as we have our policy, which I believe will be there in 2 weeks, and the copyright, which will be there after constituency, and I must say we've been waiting for over a year, but we will get it, and we will not start any legislation of our own until these bills are on the table. So thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I must just also indicate that we've had presentations from health, from arts and culture, from environment, from trade and industry, from environmental affairs, all about this IKS bill. And we've had pre-public hearings, and we had public hearings, and that also the bill, I think, to answer Honorable Estrasian, is not here. That this bill cuts across 16 disciplines. So it's not a narrow, it's very broad. Hence, us inviting different departments to come and make presentation. And my understanding was that this, as I said earlier on, that the technical committee is in existence. So and as presented in the beginning, that we seek to have convergence and ensure that an ordinary person. We're here to represent people out there, ordinary people, indigenous people who are staying in remote areas and so on. So for them, for their indigenous knowledge to be recognized, to be recorded, to be protected, they shouldn't be sent from environment to agriculture to science and technology to trade and industry. There should be one. And it's true, also members did say, we're not here to try and protect, you know. The silo mentality must be dispelled. We should work as government, this one government. And where you've done a lot of work, probably in IPLA, in environmental impact study, and everybody else has done a lot of work in their own areas. But let us take that knowledge and bring it into one. And it's not as if it will, if for instance, it sits in trade in science and technology, I'm sure there'll be acknowledgement that in finalizing this act, these people, there was, you know, trade and industry made an input and what have you, they had to amend or repeal their bill and stuff like that. Let us try and do that and agree also on the issue of the meeting of the technical committee, because if it's not meeting, it's delaying the finalization of this bill. Because come here, you differ with each other and stuff like that, and I think also in looking at the IPLA, the chair has raised these issues, the issue of regulation, it's not there. So it shouldn't delay other processes. If it was delayed for some reasons, let the one horse that is running run with it then. There's policy since 2004 in science and technology in preparing to have this bill to be applicable and to be alive, you know. We need a holistic approach. We have to really protect the existing indigenous knowledge, and that is my plea, you know. It's changed, and most of the academia, I think all and other ordinary people who presented the issue of repealing of IPLA came out very strong, and we will share with yourselves the inputs from our public hearings, so that we're not making up these issues, that you can see and read for yourself. This is what, these were the comments and submissions that were made by stakeholders that came to make presentations at the committee. Yeah, so yeah, I think we are at that. And I'm not sure if you want to say something.
I support the issue of the technical committee work and coming together under much more guidance and much more strengthening that has been functioning thus far, as well as the fact that I also think I'm in support of Honorable Kornhoff, in the sense that we need to get some legal guidance on this particular matter in order for us to consolidate on the positions to understand exactly what the way forward is. Because I think there is differing views. I don't think it's constructive that we come to a committee of parliaments and have differing views as one government. It just makes no sense. So I think we need to get a finality on this matter. It's been going around for far too long, Madam Chair, and I think we really need to bed this down. Whether it goes or it stays, we need to understand.
Yeah, we need to have time frames.
Yes.
You need to have time frames. You know, if you can both indicate to me the soonest possible time to have this meeting. And I'm sure there are people who have been seconded from different, or people who are dealing with these issues on daily basis who can meet in a week or two.
Madam Chair, what I will do for my part is, during the course of the day, I will speak to the DG of DGI. And I will speak to him of getting the two DGs together possibly
in terms of possibly maybe even a phone call to understand the work of the committee and when the time frames are and to make sure that they start working on it immediately.
Thank you, Chair. Before I comment on the proposal, I just want to respond to a few questions that were raised on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The first question was during whether during the public hearings, was there any repeal of the iCable note? There were, we did not receive any submissions requesting the repeal of the iCable. So that the question. The honourable member has left. Whether the IK bill speaks to different cultural groups? Yes, it does. It does, as long as that cultural group satisfies the criteria of eligibility, namely whether the knowledge has passed from generation to generation, whether it's linked to a social identity, or whether that knowledge is still used and maintained. If a group, for example, an Afrikaner group or an Indian group, satisfies that criteria, then that knowledge is eligible for protection. The question raised by Madam Chair was the issue of trust. The IK Bill does not envisage the establishment of any trust. So within the IKS Bill, there is no trust established. Trusts are left within the licensing agreement in terms of establishing community trust. So in terms of that, what's the other question? Yeah, I think those were the three questions. The previous question around Honourable Tablanche's question, we've in the process of engaging DIA with that. So in our next meeting, that is one of the issues on the agenda in the meeting that we're going to have next week. Regarding the proposals from CIPC, I think that's a very profound and sane proposal, and I think we'll go with that. I think that's a good proposal. All what's left now is to have clear time frames, and I think both the CIPC and Chair, by the way, we are part of the IMC, the IP policy which was developed by the DTI. We made very substantial, Shumi and myself made very substantial inputs into the document. So this may be a technical team emerging out of the IMC, which would then feed into the IMC and which would have much more strength in terms of its recommendations. Thank you, Chair.
Madam Chair, I find myself always being a very practical person coming back to Parliament. Regarding the issue of time frames, I think what we should do, Madam Chair, is that in a week from now, we should send written reply to Parliament, to the two committees, in order to say these are the time frames and these are when the meetings are going to occur and this is where the time frame for finality is, in order for us to then have a meaningful discussion and come back in a reasonable time in order to give feedback on it.
Thanks. I think from our side, we'll have to write to both ministers and the DGs. Write to them. Because probably if there's a letter from ourselves, from committees to those high authorities, the process will be fast-tracked. And to show that we are now hamstrung, we can't move. So next week we should be discussing other issues, but we can't without the input from both of you. I don't know, Barbara, do you want to say something?
Sorry, thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I know I was supposed to present next week on the overall working document. Just from to be maybe overly cautious, I still have a technical meeting with my colleagues from DST this afternoon, which I will, for the purpose of everything else, will attend to. But I think it may be a good call to deal with the bill as a whole instead of piecemeal. Because a one clause may have a knock-on effect on another one that we can't foresee at this stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I want to thank all members from both committees and officials from both departments for the input and participation this morning. I think we will be writing those letters and and we'll make follow-up on that. I think this is one area where oversight will be of utmost importance, because we cannot, you know, be hamstrung. We cannot be next week. We're supposed to have been going a step further, so we can't. And we hope that much as your each bill and act is your baby, that let's try and make those babies to be some Siamese twins, put them together as one. Yeah, thank you very much, honorable members. We've come to the end of this meeting, and once again, thank you for your participation. The meeting is now adjourned.